We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pretty quick.
Giddy keeps it himself and takes it up as he glides with the finger roll.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Show. We're a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and DailyThunder.com. I'm your host for the night, JD Silva, here to discuss the Thunder's 105-101 loss to the New Orleans Pelicans. Before I get started, be sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcast and leave us a 5-star rating if you haven't done so already. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. Thank you guys for joining me in the live stream. If you're here, feel free to ask me questions, and I'll answer those as the podcast chugs along for the night. It'll just be me tonight, so it could be a bit of a shorter pod, but looking forward to breaking this one down. Really interesting game, ugly in large part, but interesting nonetheless. And then we'll see, I think, Shea's status for Wednesday's game could be in question, so we'll talk about that as well. Your starting lineup for the night was SGA, of course, Josh Giddey, Lu Dort, Alexei Pokuševski, and JRE. No J-Dub, in large part because of all the size that New Orleans brings to the table. Zion, Jonas Valanciunas, another long boy, Herb Jones. They all wreaked havoc on the Thunder tonight, despite the slightly larger lineup. That is OKC's quote-unquote big lineup right now. And JRE, I think, is 6'8", 6'9". Poku is thin as a rail. So really tough, really tough. Nick and Jacob talked a ton about this on last night's podcast, but not having size is such a detriment. And that's actually my first big takeaway of tonight's game, is that it could be intended. Chet, of course, was supposed to help with a lot of these problems, but I think OKC's record might not be quite as good as we had hoped during this good run to start the season, in large part because of the size and the lack thereof of that size. Just completely dominated on the glass and in second chance points and paint points especially. Second big takeaway, the lack of shooting, another issue for this team that seems to come and go, as a lot of things can come and go on such a young team, youngest team in the NBA. The lack of shooting felt glaring. It was a tough night for SGA. He was defended better by New Orleans than any other team I've seen this year, and they forced the ball into other players' hands, and those players were not able to make shots for most of the night. Let's go through the step-by-step summary of this game. It felt like it went by so quickly, but let's start with the first quarter. The Thunder have been getting off to very slow starts in a lot of these games. The offense is just SGA, not much else going on. Tonight, it was flip-flopped. The offense was coming from Poku and JRE, a little bit of Trey Mann. And Shea actually didn't attempt a shot until roughly four minutes left in the first quarter is when he finally attempted a shot. So that was odd, but the Thunder kept it really close. Poku was actually, he's still on a very short leash, and he was pulled early for missing some pretty gettable rebounds on both the offensive and defensive glass. So don't blame Mark for that. Poku did end up playing a sizable amount of minutes tonight. Still tallied 27, but was just pulled early into that first quarter. As soon as that happened and the Thunder realized, oh God, the size thing is going to be a larger issue than we thought for the night. The New Orleans Pelicans actually got 9 offensive rebounds in the first quarter, and the Thunder generally averaged 12.5 for a game, opposing offensive rebounds. So that was going very poorly. They decided to play 5 out with Usman at the 5 for a while. Eventually, they brought Darius Bazley in, just tried everything they could to spread the floor out and make things easier on SGA. Going into the second quarter, OKC really tightened up on their offensive rebounds. They did not allow any in the second quarter, and I believe they ended up with 9 or a couple more than 9 themselves in the second quarter. So that was great. Didn't matter that much. SGA was on the bench for most of this quarter. He didn't come in until the 5-minute mark. Generating offense without SGA and with Josh Giddey in a bit of a slump right now is tough. It was a lot of Kendrick Williams ISO. It was a lot of just Darius Bazley dribbling and pulling up. It was difficult. Usman came in and hit some threes. Poku played all right, I thought. Lou Dort just kind of did his usual, barrel himself to the rim and try and get a pass into a cutter. A lot of that. It was fun for a bit, and then about 10 minutes of the same thing happened, and it was not fun anymore. SGA finally came in, but now we're into the third quarter. OKC is shooting 35% at halftime, mind you. In the third quarter, that field goal percentage, already low as heck, dips to 33%. SGA just getting swarmed by 3 or more Pelicans every time he takes a dribble inside the three-point line. Can't really get anything going aside from his free throws, which we'll talk about later. And it just made life miserable for him, and no one else was hitting shots. That was the story for most of this game. Heading into the fourth now, Usman comes in, hits a couple more threes. Felt like a miracle that he hit those threes, and it was much needed. Notice I have not talked about Trey Mann at all. We'll get to that as well in our personal analysis. The theme of SGA getting the crap kicked out of him continued into the fourth quarter. Herb Jones kind of clipped him in the air, and SGA fell hard on his back. I expect that we'll learn more about that injury and other little injuries Shea picked up throughout tonight's game in the next 24 hours or so. But the game got even more physical into the fourth. The game got even more close. The Pelicans were up by 10-plus for most of the third and fourth quarter. Thunder came back, led for maybe 2 possessions there in the fourth, kept it crazy close. There was some weird end-of-game shot clock shenanigans going on. Refs were kind of up and down all night as far as making consistent calls. There was a jump ball very late into the game. I think there was, I don't remember exactly how much time was left, 40 seconds, maybe less than that, 35 seconds, that sounds about right. There was a jump ball, and 8 seconds of this just vanished during that jump ball. Wasn't reviewed. Mark had already called his challenge on a goaltend that actually was reversed. So good on Mark. Seems to get a lot of those challenges right. Nonetheless, those 8 seconds were vanished. The Thunder did get a stop and had maybe 7 or 8 seconds to run down the court and jack up a shot. Mark did not call his final timeout, just decided to let Shea dribble the ball up and try and make something happen as he had done all night. And Herb Jones drew a charge. Late in the game, a lot of chaotic stuff is happening. You could argue the charge, if it was a charge or not, was he moving? Hard to say. It was a really physical game, and that ends it essentially. Shea is like basically limping off the court after getting hit so many times tonight. J-Dub got hit in the head again. Can we protect J-Dub, please? And yeah, really tough. The Thunder do end up losing the game 105-101. You would hope coming into this game tonight that they bounce back after that really nasty loss against the Rockets, especially with the Pelicans not having CJ McCollum, not having Brandon Ingram. Couldn't do it. And a large part is because of what happened to SGA tonight. Let's go over his stats. So 31.6 rebounds, 4 assists for SGA, 7 of 21 from the field. Not super efficient, but 16 of 18 from the field. These calls were earned. He's not doing the Trey Mann, James Harden go in and do some crazy stuff to get a foul called. He is getting clobbered every time he walks into the lane. Really, it looks really tough. He's going to have a lot of nicks, a lot of bruises. I expect his status will be in question heading into the Spurs game, and it's the Spurs. They are just dreadful right now. If there's ever a game where you can sit SGA and say, hey, you know what? The Thunder could still win this game. It would be against the Spurs. So we'll see. It's a really quick turnaround. That game is on Wednesday. Shea's going to have to sit in an ice bath for the next 48 hours, so we'll see what he looks like there. Just really, really tough defense from the Pelicans. Herb Jones, we've all heard his name, drafted last year. Incredible defender for his age, especially. And his age is the big part here. He gets a ton of hype for being a second-year player and being as good of a defender as he is. He is the same age as Brandon Ingram, though, so let's give him like some credit there. He is so far ahead of other second-year players because of how old he is. I think he is 25. Let's actually check together. What an exercise for us here in the chat. 24 years old, born on October 6th of 98. So great defender, second-year player. He's 24, and he gave Shea the work for a lot of the night. He was making Shea second-guess himself. Herb is really long and really mobile. And really difficult to play against him one-on-one, especially when there are two other massive dudes behind him just waiting, not defending anyone else because they don't have to. Of course, you have to mention Jose Alvarado, just a little bastard of a defender out there, like Pat Beverly, but not the reality of Pat Beverly, more like the idea that we all think of, just a pest running around everywhere really fast, actually makes shots, like is a solid offensive player as well. Had 15-2-4 tonight, hit three threes. Really nice guy to have whenever you don't have CJ and Brandon Ingram to kind of facilitate the offense in place of Zion in certain spots.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Moving on, just a quick note I put as I was watching the game. This might be the most fun Willie Hernan Gomez has had on a basketball court in many, many years. There was just no one as big as him. They could just do whatever they wanted. Jonas Valanciunas as well with his slicked back hair. He used to look like Travis Kelce. He does not anymore. Just looks like not a great person. Dominated the Thunder in the paint. Anytime a shot would go up, you could just very clearly tell, oh God, the Thunder have no chance of getting this ball because these guys are all 6 to 8 inches taller than the next guy on the Thunder. And a stat to explain that, points in the paint for the Thunder, 36. Points in the paint for the New Orleans Pelicans, 60. So 24 more points in the paint for New Orleans tonight. Really hard to come back from that. It's a big reason why the Thunder shot 37% from the field and they shot 45% from the field. They only shot 28% from three. Didn't matter because of how many easy looks they could get inside. They could just throw up any shot they wanted and they would kind of know they're going to get a good shot at getting that shot back and putting it up again. The Thunder need shooters and size so badly. I think next year is going to be incredible, assuming Chet comes back and can provide both of those qualities to this team that needs as much as it does. I really, really look forward to that. I look forward to the Thunder making additional draft picks to get players that fit this bill, letting these guys get older, put up these shots and miss them this year so that they can learn from it, learn from Chip Englund to get better and more consistent as time goes on. It's tough to watch on nights like this when it's just brick after brick after brick. And you do start to worry about how it affects certain players' confidence, like Trey Mann. Trey Mann, we imagine him as a guy that's hitting step backs, hitting really cool shots all the time, can do a lot of finesse things at the rim, has a ton of confidence. Confidence is what you associate with Trey Mann. He was 4 of 10 tonight, 1 of 7 from 3. And these were not a normal inefficient Trey Mann night where it's like, oh, you can live with that. He's taking good shots. He's taking open shots. They all look like they're good. It's just he is missing them on this given night. Tonight felt different to me. It felt like he didn't have the confidence that he usually has, which is worrying when you see a young player lose his confidence. You want that to be the thing that sustains itself through a given slump. That is not happening with Trey right now. These were very bad misses, like totally missing the backboard, missing the hoop. Turning down open looks is another big thing. He just didn't have a place on the court tonight, really. I hope to see that change. Maybe he gets a run at ball handling duties if SGA misses Wednesday night's game. You want to see more from a guy like him who is supposed to be an offensive spark plug. Like, he is who you think of first when you think of, oh, Shea's not having a good night. Who's a guy that can just provide me 18 to 21 points on a given night? You would hope Trey Mann could be that at some point. Tonight was not that night for sure. I mentioned it in the game recap, but it does feel like a miracle whenever Usman Jang comes in and hits two threes. That's all he had. He had 6 points, 3 rebounds, hit two threes, but those threes felt like just a breath of fresh air that we don't see that often. I like seeing a guy like Usman get minutes just because it at least feels like he can shoot. A lot of guys, I just feel like, oh God, that's not going in whenever they shoot it. I don't necessarily feel that with Usman. So that felt nice. Moving on just a little bit to Lu Dort. He was in a tough position tonight. He had to take some bad shots because the defense was taking so much away from SGA and leaving him way more open. It was just ugly to watch. I don't necessarily blame him. I don't think he had like a horrible game. He was in a tough position to like do more than he is able to do as a player. In reality, Lu Dort is like your fourth or fifth option on a good team. Tonight, the Pelicans were trying to make him the first option on offense. So he was doing things that are a bit uncharacteristic, taking like mid-range pull-up jumpers that made me nauseous to see. Just doing things that you wouldn't want a role player to do. So his line for the night, 14 points, three rebounds, 5 assists, 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, and 2 turnovers. So that was Lu Dort. Moving on to Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey, a big subject in the chat, big subject on Twitter. Everyone's kind of hopping off the Josh Giddey train right now. It's interesting to see. He did not have a great night. He was 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist in 28 minutes. Only took 1 3, with 3 of 9 from the field. It's tough for Josh right now. Last season, Josh could come in and the scouting report was not out. He can do whatever he wanted on the court, surprise everyone with his higher than average like basketball IQ, his higher than average passing ability, and just kind of dominate with his size. And by surprising people, he is unable to surprise people this year. He is having to adjust, do things that he wouldn't normally do, find ways around a team's game plan against him. And he can still, like, there are flashes of his talent constantly, but the man cannot shoot at all, really. That is clearly a work in progress, and that has limited his game a ton. And it will continue to limit his game a ton until it evolves as time goes on. Last season, we saw him take like really confident mid-range, like step back shots that looked good. And that's just not happening this year. His whenever he gets the ball, he's driving in back to the basket, and he might put up like a hook shot or a weird floater through, when, even though a guy's like in his chest, or he just swings the pass out because he doesn't feel confident enough to score. So that's clearly a guy that needs to change his game a bit. And I think he's 20 years old. He is in a slump right now for sure. But we could see him come out of it at any time. And I'm curious to see where his game goes. Let's go through a couple more box score stats and just kind of look at some of the other role players on the team, like J-Dub, who got clocked in the head later into the game. I wish we could protect our boy. Protect our boy, J-Dub, who finished with another J-Dub-esque stat line. 8 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. One block, just a decent game. He also isn't getting very many of his threes to fall. He's trying to do his usual J-Dub thing of, you know, cut, make smart passes into the lane. But that's just not possible when there's so much size inside. Like, he can't do anything in the paint. No one could do anything in the paint tonight because it's just two to three big boys standing there waiting to swat his shot away. Whenever he enters there, it could be Willie, could be Jonas Valanciunas, doesn't matter. It's tough, really tough. Poku, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from 3. The Poku shooting, it's here. It's here every night. It looks fine. Poku was just kind of getting ragdolled around. He was in a WWE match in his mind for most of the game. Really tough. It's not the kind of game you want Poku to play unless you have true shooting around you. Like, if Poku's your only quote unquote shooter outside of SGA on the court, he's not going to be able to make that impact. Another guy that Thunder fans and myself are starting to think of as a reliable shooter is JRE. He had a really good game, I thought. Played as hard a defense as he could against people that were much bigger than him. 10 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 of 5 from three. His shot looks good, and I feel pretty confident in his shot. I think he's still shooting 40% from three. Let's see. He is 40% from three. One of the only like reliable, quote unquote, reliable shooters on the team. He's not a volume guy. He's not taking like 8 to 12 a game, like some high level 3-point shooters, but he is playing the PJ Tucker light role. And I think that fits him really well. Really tough game. I've just vomited out all of my thoughts to you all. Looking forward to Wednesday's game. I hope that the Thunder have had a series of really difficult games. They either get out to a slow start or their offense just turns to mud at some point later in the game. And it becomes really tough to watch. Really tough to watch, like Phil McQueen in the chat said. I look forward to Wednesday's game. The Spurs are really bad. This could be an opportunity for the Thunder to show up and play really disciplined basketball, hopefully hit some shots. The threes have to start trending in a positive direction at some point. The field goal percentage in general has to start trending in the right direction soon. Maybe Trey just needs to put on the headband. Put the headband back on, Trey. Maybe I keep the dreads. The dreads look awesome. Maybe try the headband. I don't know. J-Dub, please maybe think about wearing the face mask or wear like a football uniform on the court because you are getting rocked every game. Feel bad for him. But let's get ready to get out of here for the night. Hopefully you all can hear my sounder from my fancy little soundboard here. Next game, of course, Spurs on Wednesday. Battle of two stinky teams right now. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to you all joining us in the live stream again. Thanks for doing so tonight. Or listening to us afterwards tomorrow morning, late tonight. We will see you all after the game. Thanks so much again for listening. Have a great night. And adios.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.